247. Just how little German style concerns itself with sound and with the ear is demonstrated in the fact that even our good musicians write badly. The German does not read aloud, not for the ear, but merely with his eyes. In the process, he has put his ears away in a drawer. In antiquity, a man read, when he read, and that happened rarely enough, to himself aloud and in a loud voice. People were amazed if someone read quietly, and they secretly asked themselves why. With a loud voice, that is to say, with all the tonal swellings, bends, changes in tone, and shifts in tempo, which the ancient public world enjoyed. At that time, the principles of writing style were the same as those for the speaking style, and these principles depended in part on the astonishing development and the sophisticated needs of the ear and larynx, and in part on the strength, endurance, and power of the ancient lungs. A syntactic period is, as the ancients understood it, above all a physiological totality, in so far as it is held together by a single breath. Such periods, as they manifest themselves in Demosthenes and Cicero, swelling up twice and sinking down twice, all within the single breath, that's what ancient men enjoyed. From their own schooling they knew how to value the virtue in such periods, how rare and difficult it was to deliver them. We really have no right to the great syntactical period, we moderns, we short-winded people in every sense. These ancient people were, in fact, themselves collectively dilettantes in public speaking, and as a result, connoisseurs, and thus critics. Hence they drove their speakers to the utmost limits. In a similar way, in the last century, once all Italian men and women understood how to sing, among them virtuoso singing, and with that the art of melody as well, reached its high point. But in Germany, right up until very recent times, when a sort of platform eloquence started flapping its young wings timidly and crudely enough, there was really only one form of public speaking which came close to being artistic, what came from the pulpit. In Germany, only the preacher understood what a syllable or what a word weighs, how a sentence strikes, leaps, falls, runs, and ends. Only he had a conscience in his ears. Often enough a bad conscience. For there is no shortage of reasons why it's precisely the German who rarely, and almost always too late, achieves a proficiency in speaking. It is appropriate, therefore, that the masterwork of German prose is the masterwork of its greatest preacher. Up to this point, the Bible has been the best German book. In comparison with Luther's Bible, almost everything else is mere literature. Something that did not grow in Germany, and hence also did not grow into German hearts, as the Bible did. 248. There are two kinds of genius, one which above all breeds and desires to breed, and another which is happy to let itself be fertilized and give birth. In the same way, there are among peoples of genius those to whom the female problem of pregnancy and the secret task of shaping, maturing, and perfecting have been assigned. The Greeks, for example, were a people of this kind, like the French, and there are others who have to fertilize and become the origin of new orders of life, like the Jews, the Romans, and, one could ask in all modesty, the Germans. People tormented and enchanted by unknown fevers and irresistibly driven outside themselves, in love with and lusting after foreign races, after those who let themselves be fertilized, and thus obsessed with mastery, like everything which has a knowledge of itself as full of procreative power, and thus by the grace of God. These two types of genius seek each other out, like man and woman, but they also misunderstand each other, like man and woman. 249. Every people has its characteristic tartuffery, hypocrisy, and calls it its virtues. The best that man is, he does not know. He cannot know. 250. What does Europe owe the Jews? All sorts of things, good and bad, and above all one that is at the same time among the best and the worst, the grand style immorality, the terror and majesty of infinite demands, infinite meanings, the whole romanticism and grandeur of things worth raising moral question about, moralischen Fragwürdigkeiten, and as a result precisely the most attractive, most awkward, and most exquisite parts of those plays of colours and enticements to life, whose afterglow these days makes the sky of our European culture glow in its evening light, perhaps as it burns itself out. Among the spectators and philosophers, we artists are grateful to the Jews for that.